Welcome, everyone. This is the LaRouche Show for Saturday, November 23rd, 2013. My name is Marcia Mary Baker, and our topic for today is Glass-Steagall, not EU fascism, not European Union fascism. Now, I'll tell you right off the bat, I took that title from the campaign slogan that was used in Denmark in the elections that just took place on November 19. And that brings me to our guest who ran for mayor under this slogan of Copenhagen, who's speaking to us from Copenhagen, who is the director of the Schiller Institute in Denmark. Welcome, Tom Gillesberg.
Hi, Marcia.
And so you'll hear more about this, but I'm very pleased that here we have in the studio with me today a guest from Germany. And we welcome Dorothea Schleifenbaum, who's on the City Council of Siegen. And welcome, Dorothea.
Thank you.
And she has been, I'm grateful to know, visiting the United States, in particular while Congress is in session, on the urgency of policy changes we need for the transatlantic and the world. She's going to be speaking about that. And, in fact, let me just introduce our discussion by stressing it was a few days ago that this week that Mr. Lyndon LaRouche issued his own very brief but emergency statement. You can find that on LaRouchePub.com and LaRouchePack.com, where he said the key things were in a collapse countdown, financial, economic process proceeding, and we have this president in charge, President Obama, that's part of furthering the crisis and not merely incapable of dealing with it, is contributing it to it. Mr. LaRouche's exact words were, given the fact that we are on the verge of the complete breakdown of the economy, we cannot tolerate a chaotic situation under this president. Mm-hmm. So we're pushing for a policy change, and we here in the United States, I'll represent Americans on this program, we are committed that we want the policy shift and we want to initiate the impeachment of this person from the White House. So you know there are many kinds of, you could call it pushback, many individuals in the military, some people on Capitol Hill and Congress and elsewhere, who, and in the diplomatic corps, maybe they're retired or in other places, trying to prevent the worst foreign policies leading to warfare, the worst domestic policies that here in the United States are causing such terrible harm is just reducing austerity that's causing a situation where people don't have enough food to eat, where people aren't getting the medical treatment. We have this kind of situation, but we're committed to mobilize the citizenry to do the kind of tasks I just said. And in that sense, I want to just announce, we may not necessarily discuss it, there was one very moralizing and event last night in the metropolitan Washington, D.C. area in Northern Virginia was a concert by the Schiller Institute that was the Mozart's Requiem to commemorate the life of President Kennedy, who was assassinated 50 years ago, November 22nd. It was a packed house. It was a beautiful event. And we're so glad that our councilwoman here could be in the United States and have an opportunity to be there. But beauty and this kind of commitment to humanity can win out. And that's what we're committed to here. And with that said, what I'd like to do, Tom, if you would open the discussion today, because you are, as I said, you're head of the Schiller Institute, you are in Denmark, and you were really, you were collaborating with others to run, I guess, as independents in the election in order to set the agenda for the emergency action we need in the transatlantic internationally. Would you discuss what you were doing?
Well, I would say that, and I would try to describe the sense that I got through the campaign over the last 3 weeks as being as kind of a precursor to a paradigm shift. I mean, this has been a theme with the Schiller Institute for the last 2 years, with Helga Sepp-LaRouche being basically heading up a series of conferences addressing not just, you know, the economic crisis or the strategic crisis or the cultural crisis, but all of them in different aspects, under the heading that only if you have a paradigm shift, that is a change in the fundamental values all over, is there a way out. And I mean, being on the 50 years of the death of John F. Kennedy, of course, it's very easy to use the image of saying going back to the policies and the ideas and the view of man that John F. Kennedy stood for and was killed for. And this is the sense I got in the election campaign here, because, I mean, first, just to give you an idea of it, this was municipal election, that which in general would mean absolutely nothing. This is then taking place in Copenhagen, and besides, I mean, we have eight parties represented in the Danish parliament, which in general will be considered the real candidates, those that you're supposed to vote for. And besides that, you then had 24 other lists participating in the election, of which we were one. So it's really a zoo.
Zoo.
And what we decided to do in this political zoo, and which we have been doing before, is to insist on bringing into discussion the real issues, which should be in the general political discussion, which should be on the front page of the newspapers and the news media, but it is being totally blacked out, because it's such dramatic decisions to be made, and the prepared solutions for the present financial economic crisis is so gross and so inhuman that you do not want to bring it to discussion. And that we therefore did. I mean, we put up posters all over Copenhagen and in the second biggest city of Denmark, Aarhus, where we were also running, big posters saying Glass-Steagall, not EU fascism. The banking union will take your money and your life. And for those who are on the inside, the question of a European banking union is a very acute thing. It's right now the hottest political topic, because everybody knows that we are on the verge of a new financial crash, bigger than with what we saw in 2007, 2008. And that the banks will need even more money than they received back then. So how are you going to bail out these bankrupt banks? And what is being prepared in the European Union under British guidance, I would say, because the British don't intend to participate directly in it, but they're setting the stage, just like they've been setting the stage in the U.S. under Bush and under Obama. Their policy has been everything has to be sacrificed to retain City of London, Wall Street, the financial markets. We'll save the banks and we'll sacrifice the population. Harsh austerity, even to the point of killing people. I mean, this is what is going on right now in Greece, in Cyprus, Spain, Portugal. Already these places, people will go into a hospital where they 5 years ago would get an operation and would live happily for the next 20 years. Today they won't get it. They'll be sent home to die. Because the money is not there, because what was done in the aftermath of the crisis of 2007-2008 was these massive bailout paid over the state budget, and thereby bankrupting the state and setting the stage for killing people through austerity. And this is what we put to discussion. I mean, we had it on the poster, and this freaked out everybody. They say, you cannot put fascism on a poster. Are you crazy? You know, this, you can't discuss like that. You got to be polite. And we says, well, we want to be polite, but that's the case. This is exactly the same kind of economic policy that we saw in the 30s in Europe. And it has to be defeated in the same way with the policies of Franklin D. Roosevelt. And we then post as a contrast to that, and on our posters, like we've been doing with the LaRouche movement in the U.S., a three-point program. Glass-Steagall banking separation, you know, throw out the speculation out of the banks. then we can have national credit, and then we can have big infrastructure projects which really can create visions for the future with the Danish maglev system going into space, all of these kind of things. And what was interesting, and the reason I say I felt like I was in a pre-paradigm shift, was that there was actually some of the journalists on major media who felt so disgusted and so bad about the fact that, for instance, I, as Tom Gillisberg, I ran in 2005 in the election back then and warned about, I said, when the bubble bursts, we need a new Bretton Woods financial system. And everybody ridiculed it. In 2007, I had a big election campaign for parliament saying, after the financial crash, we need a national maglev system in Denmark to revive the economy. And it was ridiculed. So you have among the some of the journalists this, and that came out in this election campaign, they says, they went to me and made interviews with me. We had it in some two major papers, but we also had it, actually, I was three times on national radio for bigger discussions on our program. I was also on the most respected news program here in Denmark called Denmark Deadline. And having an opportunity to, in a very condensed way, saying why we are doing this, because this is the real issue coming up. We have to decide Denmark can still survive. We are not part of the euro system. We are thereby not automatically part of the banking union. We therefore have to very consciously say we will not join this banking union. We will not have to sacrifice our population in order to pay for these foreign bankrupt banks. We'll go another way. And the thing is, I mean, in this zoo, I mean, it might not sound of much because we ended up here in Copenhagen getting 0.2% of the vote. And that you can say that's not really a lot. But it was five times more than we got last time. And every single one of those who voted for us did it in defiance of what everybody else told them to do. It was explicitly to do something different from what you normally would do, because this is a very this is the time when decisive action has to be taken. And we had the same result that we had a big fight over here, because I was supposed to be on this deadline national news shows,
yeah, TV.
Television, a couple of days before the election, and it was canceled. And they say, we'll put you on afterwards. And I says, you can't do that. You know, it's not the same coming on before the election or after to comment it. And after a fight, I was put on before. And after, that was the night of the election. And we actually, the day after, got call-ins from people around the country saying, this is terrible. I can't vote for you. Is there something else I can do? So again, we've been in this game for a long time. We have been feeling, I mean, there's this really, really terrible situation where when we talk to people in parliament or in the institutions, there's a general recognition where they will say, well, you were right about the financial crash. You were right. But at the same time as they recognize that and really respect it, they do not want to discuss alternatives to the present policy. What I sensed in the last 3 weeks is that there's a turning point, that there is really this kind of vacuum in terms of ideas, that some of these circles that otherwise before will say, we will not have to discuss this, this is not relevant, feel an urge to do so and feel an urge to have some real substance, real visions, because somehow they know it cannot simply go on with the kind of crap, to be polite, that's been going on normally. I mean, and that the real issue has to be discussed. So, and the one other thing which really brought this home was that all of the journalists I talked to all said the same thing. They said, you know, your poster is too much, but the one you had last time, 2 years ago, when you said Glass-Steagall or chaos, that was brilliant. And the funny thing is, 2 years ago when I ran, it was the same thing. They said, the last poster you had was brilliant. Now it's too confusing. It's too much. which of course is a reflection of the fact that, we are doing politics as from the future, not from the past. We introduce the new necessary ideas which can give us a way out of this. And then the big question is, will people catch on to them fast enough in order to make this a new renaissance and not just another tragedy?
Well, thank you so much, because that's very exciting, even though long distance here for some in the United States. But this is a perfect time, Dorothea, if you want to begin by saying something. You came to Washington, and both the House and Senate have been in session, and you personally brought this same sense, I believe,
yes,
into many of these offices about this killer banking union continued bailout policy.
Well, first I would like to say that it was a very exciting experience for myself that here in the United States I'm meeting people who are different than I had expected. Coming from Europe, especially coming from Germany, we get the impression that the interests of the United States people are the same as the interests of Wall Street and the City of London.
Oh, my.
Our newspaper, our television, shows us always a picture where they are wonderful hand going hand by hand. And here I know something because I'm working with a Helga LaRouche since not so long time, but so far I knew about it. But in the public vision, the American are the same as Wall Street. And so I now think that's a thing for the American identity to loosen themselves from this a government of Wall Street and the City of London. Well, when I spoke to this man of Congress, I met those who have partly an open view for the Glass-Steagall
Good.
System, but I always felt they keep behind and they wish someone to go in front on to make the hole to the barrier and then they would follow. And one of them really said that he felt pressed by Wall Street. And I think not all did this so clearly, but it's the fact of most of them. And when I go back to the German situation, I think it's just the same. Reporting our election we had only some weeks ago, the themes that were discussed were very narrow, very ridiculous, really, in relation to the big tasks we have for our country and for the development of all these states who are in a terrible situation, within the EU or outside. And I think that also Mrs. Merkel is under very big pressure.
Pressure. Mm-hmm.
Beside of the City of London and the Green Movement. For instance, for me, it's hardly not to understand that she changed our
the energy
policy. Energy policy,
yes, uh-huh,
into in favor of these renewable
right
methods. It's impossible. We had long-lasting contracts with the nuclear power stations, and she broke them
right
from one day to the other and installed a system which is not reliable. Yes, we cannot base our industry on these renewable energy, and this, what she did, is making weak also the other systems of energy politics in Switzerland, as I heard. Sometimes we make gifts of energy, even to Austria, because we have too much. Other times, we need it for our industry.
Yes.
That makes an invalid system. So I only can understand this because Frau Merkel has learned physics.
Yeah.
She should know better.
Right.
But she does it because she is under the pressure of the Green Movement and the City of London. In Germany, no one would understand if they would be told that this is a fascistic ideology they are following. They would be horrified. And also, if someone would say them officially, that this is going to genocide. They don't believe in
genocide.
Genocide. Because this is a taboo. These two words are taboo after mm-hmm. Hitler. Mm-hmm. And to say that this politics is in reality continued with these new methods,
yes.
It would be shock all the population. But it is not done in the public discussion. Even you heard that they are going to install a law that those who oppose these policies are punished. They are punished in Greece, and
right.
It's with 6 months. Prison, and it's also discussed not on the top but on the below.
Right.
That those who don't follow this United European Union scheme or
the bank union or the austerity.
European system. This after Maastricht.
Yes.
Who does not follow this should be punished. And I think they feel that they are getting weak and weak.
So they're putting this in. I understand
yes.
In Spain this has been raised of punishment of even the right to express opposition, just
yeah.
as you say in
yeah.
Greece against
yes.
the... Yes,
in Greece and in Spain, and I think it will come to Germany too. That's a terrible... A really terrible thing. And so we need this paradigm shifting.
Right.
I would also say here, from the experience in the election campaign, I mean, there was everybody from when we went out, and we had a big discussion about this before. I mean, you know, you don't go out and say fascism lightly.
No.
This is quite dramatic.
Yeah.
But when you look on the facts of the matter, when you look at what's going on in Greece right now, for instance, there's no other words you can use. You are sacrificing the general welfare and the population for private interests.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is the core definition of what fascism is. No matter how people then dress, if they have funny hats and you know, shitty boots.
Mm.
Instead of having Hakenkreuz or swastikas.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, 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 yeah.
And the thing I found in our election campaign, once in all the discussions I had, the most amazing thing was that once I got into the discussion and explained why we were doing what we were doing
mm-hmm.
and why we said this,
mm-hmm.
and there was, of course, a lot of discussions, they would all say, but how can you discuss Glass-Steagall instead of EU fascism in local elections?
Mm-hmm.
And I says, well, if I don't discuss it, there will be no discussion, because all of these, once the states commit themselves to bail out Wall Street, to bail out the banks, then there will be probably a 10% cut or something in the budgets of my city.
Mm-hmm.
And my only role as a local politician will then be to discuss who should we take it from, who should suffer.
Mm-hmm.
there will be no opportunity to reverse the policy because it's already settled, and therefore it has to be addressed. Mm-hmm. And nobody took a discussion a bit. Nobody said after the discussion, you cannot say EU fascism. And this mm-hmm. I found very, very mm-hmm. shocking, because mm-hmm. I would have expected that mm-hmm. everybody would say, you cannot say that. But once we had the discussion, mm-hmm. nobody said that. Everybody says, well, yes, it is a fact of life. This is ongoing.
Well, the only thing is that the European country, especially Germany, is not such a sovereign country so that it could be blamed for itself. It is bound into this system, and it's really governed by Brussels, and Brussels is governed by the City of London with its investment bankings and all the banking system. Though we are not, most people are not aware of it, but I think that is the reality. In Germany, there has been come out a new party who called himself Alternative for Germany. Well, Mrs. Merkel has won again, but most people think she is the a little bit weniger das, also the smaller evil.
Oh, lesser not, evil.
Lesser evil. She's not good, but she is a lesser evil. And this Alternative for Germany, got nearly 5%, and we had hoped it get some more. There were many professors with deep knowledges concerning national economics. The difference to La Rouge movement is that they only think of the monetary solution of the problem, but it certainly should be a greater view. This is the difference. But many people were very happy to have a real alternative to Mrs. Merkel's policy. But the Social Democrats and the Green and the Socialists are certainly much, much more dangerous. Everyone is expecting a big crash, because everyone who can count one and one knows it can't going on with these so cheap interests, and the monetary blow is growing on and on. I can add an example of our community. Since I'm in the council of this town since 1994, I heard our chancellor always claiming I must have more money. But I really can make the beginning of the crisis at the time when Glass-Steagall was cut down
in 1999.
Right. It began slowly, and it had a big theme, a big problem, and at the moment when Lehman Brothers failed. But the last years, it's increasing more and more. And our last budget, we discuss the budget for 2014. And have a review to the last year, and we just recognized that the expected tax income was 70 millions.
And this is your town?
My town.
Yes,
I only speak from
east
my
of
town,
and it's a significant town, university town.
Well,
old
it's
town.
Yes, and not only university, but also a town of long tradition,
yes,
of economic and producing steel products and selling them all over the world.
Uh-huh.
Our region has metal products since the time of the Celtics. That means 500 before Christ. Okay. They made already a deal with the Romans at that time. There was a breakdown in between, certainly. But I want to say, yes, it's a real industrial town and the surrounding too. And no, we did not have 70 million a tax income. We only had 50 millions.
Uh-huh.
That's a huge difference.
It's a big difference.
Loss.
And now our Lord Mayor and the parties and our Chancellor are trying to make a new budget, and they always think, where can we cut? Where can we cut? Mm-hmm. You know, we have given from our government and our law situation, we have duties we must fulfill. But we also do things which people like to do, things for the youth and playing and much fun. And for the older people, so many things we do, not forced by law, but by giving
leadership,
them
civic activity.
For support their activities, but they are very expensive, but we did this for many years. And now our Lord Mayor and our Chancellor have to make the figures how we could reduce this, and this would be the cut. This is the beginning of the end.
Yeah.
Yes, and I spoke about several times, I'm always a member of controlling our spare saving banks.
Oh, okay, yes. Yeah. In Germany,
communal spare
local
banks.
Local savings banks.
And they should be credit and business banks.
Right.
But as I read in the budget, I got to read, was that they are pressed to also to buy Greek bonds.
Oh, so they're supposed to swallow this.
Yeah, yeah. And if they fail, they have to replace it with the money which should go into the economic of our region.
The region, yeah.
Yes.
North Rhine-Westphalia or Westphalia.
Yeah, genau. And this is as it is forced by government, by Berlin, to buy these toxic bonds. It's done all over the country, and it makes this credit banks weak and weak.
Right. So that's classic forcing. That's the inaction.
Yeah.
This financial dictatorship.
Yeah. Yes.
Where we
it's
are now, from City of London, yeah. Wall Street, through the IMF, the European Union, Brussels, European Commission.
That's it.
And of course, if the money goes to, so to speak, Greece, then it's being determined by what they call the Troika, of only for the banking interests.
Yes. Yes. And people are blaming Germany for making them poor.
But you mean for not lending them, supplying funds?
We supply, but we supply for the banks.
For the banks, yeah.
And it is not in favor of the people. And so I can understand the people, but it makes not peace in Europe.
No,
it makes hating each other, though we really can't help if we don't change the system.
Yes, and going back to what you said, in Europe, you can see on television or popular media the portrayal of Americans is identical with Wall Street and the financial speculators in Chicago and commodities and food. Mm. And here we get on the popular media that Germany is the enemy of Greece. Mm. And of course, it's all... Yeah.
It's making
BS,
it's more making hating each other than making peace.
Let me ask you right now, Dorothea, do you want to say too, I know you have been active, and I don't know, Tom, if you're involved, but you've attended the
German, French,
and other
Lord Mayor's
meeting.
Mm-hmm. Well, I must confess there are more French Lord Mayors than Germans.
So this is elected local officials of different kinds, either canton, and you've initiated that, what, months ago?
There were only two meetings.
Okay.
And I don't know when there will be the next. Yes, we made this at Artsvilla.
Okay, at Artsvilla.
Declaration.
Okay.
But...
A declaration of support for the ending of what you've just been describing.
Yeah.
And it calls for a separation, an ending of the support for
speculation. Yes, in Berlin, I spoke with the deputy in Berlin, which is elected by our region, Volkmar Klein, and I asked him, what do you think about the separating of banks? And he said, oh, I think it will not help, because he was thinking of this construct Mr. Schäuble and the European
the finance minister and the European
have worked out, which is a system which gives many holes to melt the money, the banks and the bank interests. The investment banks are not cut off by this plan they have. So it will not help, really. Perhaps it will reduce the blow of money, but it will not really help.
It's a fake reform that, in fact, allows the continued...
Yes, it continues the investment banks and speculative money to work. And it does not only work against the people in our country, in Europe, in Greece, and so on, but it also works terribly against in these countries we hear about, as Afghanistan, as Syria, as Egypt, where these toxic money is introduced to finance terroristic activities. Mm-hmm. And this is a very great point, I think, which we should have in mind if we want to give peace to the world. Yes, it's terrible.
That we have to end this financial...
We are responsible, I must say always, as Germany is not such a sovereign country, that it is up to the United States to make this cut, and then the other will follow. They will follow.
To make the cut, you meaning the
between
separation...
Between the separating...
The banks, the Glass-Steagall reinstatement.
Yes,
which
yes.
was ended in 1999.
Yes, that would make the difference. Mm-hmm. And that would also help from financing all this, not all, but a good part of these terroristic activities. Mm-hmm. That's my opinion.
I also think that's a very, very important point, because even if Denmark is not as, I would say this, it's breathing a little freer than the countries that are part of the euro.
Yeah.
Of course, Denmark being a small country always wouldn't really normally consider doing anything on its own, except if it has somebody to follow. And right now we are in this terrible situation for over 12 years now. That there's been no difference, basically, between the British way and the American way. They have been going together, both in war, both in dissolving Glass-Steagall, both in bailing out the financial system.
Yeah.
And as long as the United States and Britain stand shoulder to shoulder, then Denmark, Germany simply looks at it and says, we are not really going to go against it. But if there was a split, if the United States says, no, we have a separate policy, Denmark, Germany, everybody else would line up to join the American way, because of course they know this is stupid. Of course they know this suicide will be good now.
Exactly.
But they do not have the guts to stand up.
And for
this, I think there's, I just want to say, I think it's very important, Dorothea, that you are over there, because I think one of the key ways that it has been prevented that there has been a revolt is that everybody, sits in their place.
Mm.
You know, they have locally elected positions.
Yeah.
You know, they sit, they do what they're supposed to do. They see things get worse and worse.
Mm.
But, you know, don't rock the boat. You don't want to be badly looked at by your peers. So you simply go along with the cutbacks. And for me, it reminds me, you know, of people coming to the to rail cars to bring them to the concentration camps, and then they say, you know, we have to behave, we have to keep our dignity.
Yeah.
And it's really that has to be broken, that people have to say, I can see where this is going, so I'll break my profile, I'll do something different. Who cares what my peers are going to say about this when we're all going down? Maybe I'll lose my seat.
That's on Titanic, the main fear.
But, but rather, but rather be in it, it's not worth keeping.
It's a tendency. It's a just the last weeks. We had very deep elections for the new period in 2014. There have to be put out the representatives of the different districts, and the head of our CDU party in Siegen had one statement which was very important for him. Be unit, be unit. And so if someone says,
I mean, be unified,
be one.
Okay. In the Christian Democratic Union statement.
Yes, be one in the statement you give on all themes, be one. They don't, in the moment, they don't want a discussion upon something. It's terrible. I said, I remember that the most thing Lenin had to say was be one.
Oh, is that so? Okay.
I told it. And they don't understand what I meant.
No.
Because they are so, what shall I say?
Compliant. It's sheep-like.
They are so kept so gefangen. They are really captured.
Captured.
In the idea of this Europe. And Mrs. Merkel says there is no alternative for this union. European Union, I don't follow her. I think it could be a solving of the European Union.
Right.
So that we have, again, sovereign countries with even their own currency, so that the countries can, can build up their currency and make it fitting to the economic situation.
To serve the economy of development.
Their special countries.
Yes.
And Europe is too different in its different parts than it could be ruled by one government for the whole. It's impossible. It's going to dictatorship.
Yeah, I was going to say, and right now it becomes a financial, political dictatorship.
And I want to say this is one thing I actually made a very a big point about in whenever I got the opportunity to speak here on the national media, and which I think was having quite an impact. And that is the point that everybody knows. I mean, you have these, you're going from crisis to crisis, but there's a conscious policy of not trying to prevent the crisis, because the change of the system depends on crisis. You can do more in terms of change of policy and doing away with traditions and with laws and whatnot. If you sit at a late night meeting and saying it's 5 minutes to 12, soon we'll have Monday morning, the markets will open, and if you do not go along with this, the whole thing will come down and it'll be on your head. And then these small politicians, because they're not strong individuals, they're not classically trained, they do not really thrive on principles.
No.
Then they shrink and they say, I do not want to go against this. I know somehow it's a rotten deal. I know it's bad, but I'll go along with it. And through crisis, you then change the laws. And this is not something new. This is exactly the doctrine of Carl Schmitt. you know, the chief jurist of the Nazis. Mm. That's how you do it. What you cannot get people to do with careful democratic deliberation, you force through by the necessity emergency law.
Yes, and by anxiety.
Yeah.
And this has to be, I mean, you have to break the magic, and these things has to be addressed so people, because if they reflect on it, they can see the pattern. This is how it works. So you have to, and this is why I think it was extremely important what we did here in Denmark, not so much in terms of votes, even though those that voted for them, it was a big deal, but in terms of really getting this thing out, because there is such a thing of the power of truth. Mm. There is such a phenomenon that if something has been said, even said, that's fascism. Mm. Once it's said, it does not just leave people's mind, because then reflect about it. Mm. And maybe not at that moment, but at some point, if we are truthful, if we lead the way, if we are not like other sheep and just wait for somebody to do it, but we, you know, we take the fight, then that will also inspire something in others, and at some point suddenly that comes into play. And that's my experience from this election campaign here, that what I did 2 years ago or 4 years ago or 10 years ago, long forgotten by me, suddenly these people will say, but you said this. And they then had needed the time in order really to reflect and really decide to do something.
That's okay.
Mm. And let me ask you to expand a minute, Dorothea, because you were saying, speaking of the power of truth, you have this city budget situation. Instead of 70 million euros, it's down to 50 million euros revenue. And you step back from it, I presume it's from the whole combination of so-called mini jobs, not productive jobs, and so people can't pay taxes,
too,
and other things. Can you describe what gives rise to this? Because it's also so dramatically clear, if people are prepared to look at it.
Certainly, the number of these short employment is getting greater and greater, and we see the problem. But it was an interesting discussion. Our Lord Mayor, referring to these 50 millions he only had in his budget, he said, "Oh, that must be a singularity. We shall come back to a higher income."
Oh,
but our Chancellor says no. He is worrying about very much. He doesn't think that it's come back to the high level we had. So you see, people try to close the eyes before the real problem. Well, on the whole, our situation is quite comfortable. It's not so terrible as in other countries. And our district especially has so much industry that we really are not on this on the level of getting poor. That's not the reason. There are other districts of Germany which are much more difficult. One of the parts of the so-called new countries in the East. Our situation is rather comfortable. But I see what's going on. Yes, I look at the following years when the blow gets bigger and bigger. It must collapse because the very important project we had to do, such as streets, our streets sometimes are at a very bad condition, and we should renew them. But we cannot do, because we don't have money. And there's another thing which these greenies press upon us, that is the education system. The EU has made the declaration of inclusion. Yeah, that means there should be taken all children in one school system. Mm-hmm. They don't
We're
make
familiar
a difference
with that here. Yes.
between those who are healthy and who have intelligence and those who are hindered, mindly or intellectually.
And need something
And need
special.
Something special treatment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We have wonderful schools for the different kind of person, pupils. Mm-hmm. We make seven differences
oh, yes.
between children who need a special help.
Okay.
But now we are forced from Lisbon, from the EU, to put them all in one system. That means we had to build up totally new school buildings.
Oh, to cope with this.
And new teachers and new plans for learning. That makes a real big chaos. And our very well education system is running deep to make the people stupid.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the aim. But the green don't see it and say, oh, this is real social to take them all in one and to make no difference. Yeah,
yeah, well, we've heard a lot of it from these international philanthropo-fascists like Bill Gates, who specializes in what you just described as so-called education policy.
Yeah.
Specializes in so-called agriculture policy, which is one world globalist
system.
And so it's another facet of what you've been describing, that the way...
It's going down. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's going down, Tom.
Yeah.
But
go ahead, Tom.
We have the same situation here in Denmark, that we are not, it's not the conditions of Greece.
Hmm.
We do not have 25% unemployment.
Hmm.
We have national budgets and function.
Hmm.
We have luxury problems. You could say, do we want to do this or not do that? But the point is, that's when you have to fight.
Hmm.
It's exactly when you still have the strength, when you still have something to fight with, when you're not in a day-to-day fight for your own survival, that's when you have the resources and the mental resources, physical resources, to still think of the future. And therefore, you have to take, instead of waiting for
collapse.
fascism to come to you, take it on while it's still out there and while you still have somebody to fight with. And that's, therefore, what I think one has to really take that approach also from other circles who are not directly hit by this, saying, fine, then I can be the surplus. Then I can, so to speak, I have the resources to take the future generations of me and take the fight for them now, not fighting for my own survival, but fighting for the future of all of us.
That's right.
And those that can do that, they then are the ones that really impact history long-term.
That is the new paradigm shift, is it not?
Mm.
To have this commitment to the future and the cultural and the physical economic wherewithal to bring it about for mankind, or we wouldn't be here now and we won't be here in the future if we don't do it.
Mm.
I'd like to... Someone has asked me to ask both of you the following question.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that... Do you find in recent weeks, if not months, that the we used to call it the bloom is off the rose when first Barack Obama was elected and people had false expectations about him in Europe looking at the United States? But now with the spy scandals, with the evidence, with the fake health care that was really a Tony Blair policy put in the United States in 2010, the so-called health care reform, with any of these other things, including North Africa, including wanting to originally bomb Syria. Dorothea,
Well, when I think about the reputation and the respect of the European countries against America, there had been a great respect, but it is going down and down since Bush Jr. at last. But nowadays, we Europeans think Obama has shown is his
true stripes.
Well, his real character,
yeah,
and his real aims, and he is not at all respected now. Well, he has lost his reputation totally. I do not think that everyone is respecting him to be a real representative of the United States. It should be good for the United States to let him go.
And that's another thing perhaps you and Tom were both referring to. If the U.S., the instant the split is made for Glass-Steagall reinstatement, this is a torch, a shot heard around the world. This is a whole moment of realignment, Tom.
Totally. I mean, the problem we've had with people's perception of Barack Obama is that after 8 years of Bush, people simply said, finally we got rid of him. Mm. I mean, finally this madman was gone, this, finally. Mm. And then they automatically assumed that because he was out, what would come after would be something opposite and something better. Mm. And they lived in the fantasy of this and not really been checking that thoroughly. Mm. And now suddenly it's dawning on them that this picture they had created in their own mind of Obama had nothing to do with reality.
Yeah.
And today it is the case. I mean, the media here is, I think, in Denmark we have not had the same exposures yet of these how the chancellor has been listened on and all of this. But it's still the case today in Denmark that when we go out on the street and you put up a sign of Snowden on the one side and Barack Obama on the other side, and you say, who's the traitor? Mm. I tell you that very few will be pointing to Edward Snowden.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact. Mm-hmm. And I think that's he is not betraying any principles. He's not betraying his nation.
Mm-hmm.
He is not betraying his own conscience.
Mm.
But there's no resemblance with what Barack Obama promised that he would do and what we have seen.
Mm. That's right.
Right. Well, we have just a few minutes, fewer than five, for this hour, which has gone way past. And anything you want to say is good. I'd like to. I'm so grateful that Councilwoman Schleifenbaum could come here. It's been a short visit, but it matters greatly. Those kinds of impacts on whoever can become human again on Capitol Hill in Congress, because we have a big problem there, don't we? This can make all the difference. And, of course, the LaRouche Political Action Committee around the country and collaborators are putting tremendous pressure on. But, Tom, one thing about your campaign, I can't help. Both of you are, let's say, from Northern Europe, and you put forward in your three-part program, you've discussed two parts of it, that we should have reinstatement of Glass-Steagall and hive off and separate the funny money speculative looting wing and have real credit, and we should have these projects. You're talking about the Kattegat Bridge, or would you just say something about that?
Well, the point is, and this I've been trying to bring into the discussion but had less time because the other things were more urgent somehow. But the point is, when you look at what you do with an economy, it's not simply a question of solving problems here and now. You have to say, what is it we could do that transforms the economy and brings it up to a higher platform, to a higher technological level that will enable us in 10 years or in 20 years to do something which would be totally unthinkable today? And one of those technologies which transforms the whole geometry, that's, of course, if you introduce transportation with maglev system, because suddenly you travel with,
friction.
To 600 kilometers an hour, which is like what is 350 miles per hour potentially. It simply goes so quickly, and you go so quickly from one place to another that suddenly it's a lot faster and convenient to use the train than to use cars. And the same thing goes if you develop the system to use it for transportation of goods instead of having trucks all over the place. The same thing, I mean, if you think of it, the same, of course, the other instant thing you can say, that's not only nuclear power, it's fusion power. Mm-hmm. Because it simply gives you abilities you did not have to before. And people could just also consider, if John F. Kennedy had not said, let's go to the moon, not because it's easy, but because it's hard. Mm-hmm. If he had not taken on that challenge, all of these technologies, even all of the what people spend most of their time on today, their computers, their iPads, their phones, their whole, you know, living, none of that would even have been a remote thought if it had not been for going into space, actually. And therefore, I mean, it's not, there's other bad applications of it, but the point is, it's infrastructure is not simply a question of getting from A to B. It's a question of what future do you want to create? And as a nation, you have the power to do what John F. Kennedy did, for instance. You have the power to decide, we want this future. And then nobody can prevent you from doing it. If you, as a president or as a people, kick out the present president and get in a real one, then there's nobody that can prevent you from getting that future. And,
well,
and that people needs. And I must say also here, people are, they're so excited about maglevs and all of these big things getting into space simply because what else is there? You know, then it's just, you know, trying to make ends meet and going from today to tomorrow. And
right. Well, that is that commitment is a good way to end our discussion. Now the hour has flown.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, I must say, in Germany, people are made so much afraid because of nuclear energy that we have to make a big work to loosen this
we
anxiety. They now believe in windmills and solar panels. That's terrible. So going to the moon is not the ideal of most of the Germans. They are happy with playing with their smartphones and something like that.
Yeah, looking up what restaurant to eat at if they're lucky. But I think,
it's really that they don't have the idea of a future which could be a real wealth, a wealthy future and a sensible future. We have to input new ideas.
Right.
To them.
And new, and of course, the beauty I mentioned at the beginning, and I hope people will look on LaRouche Political Action Committee, but look on the Schiller Institute website here in the United States and internationally, the New Paradigm website, will within a matter of hours contain this wonderful Mozart's Requiem performance, November 22nd, in honor of the life of John F. Kennedy. It was done in Metropolitan Washington in Virginia at the time. On the 50th anniversary of the murder of John Kennedy by these forces we're now committed to vanquish. So what I have to do is I want to thank Tom Gillisberg in Copenhagen in Denmark, and congratulations on your campaign. We'll keep at
thank
it.
Thank you.
And I want to thank here with me Dorothea Schleifenbaum, city councilwoman from Siegen, I think it's in the Rhine Valley on the Sieg River.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we look forward to talking to you again. This will be the end of the LaRouche Show for November 23rd, 2013. Thank you.